Hi, this is Andrew Lincoln, and you're listening to the Walking Dead Girl Podcast, Baboonski.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 54. In this episode, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. We also have a voicemail line. It's 1-844-TWD-GIRL, or that's 1-844-893-4475, or you can go on our Facebook page at facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We read all the comments that come in. Don't always play all of them on the air, but we read a lot of them on the air as well.
Currently, we're reviewing season 4, episode 16, and it's just called the season finale. Yes. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure that you've watched the current episode before listening. So.
And?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Why, Jasmine? Why are you
because
so excited?
Because it's the season finale. I didn't talk like
the
a weirdo.
Season finale?
I'm not as sick as much as I was last week, which is good.
Yes.
But I still feel like I need a cough every 5 seconds.
You're a little sick in the head, though, but that's different.
That's nothing new.
And we both agree that we love this episode.
Yes. Every week I say, this episode is my favorite. But for real, this is my favorite episode.
The real talk now?
Real talk. This is my favorite episode, and I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why now or later? I'll tell you later.
You can tell me now.
Okay, I'll tell you now. Because of Rick! Rick, finally! He's the Rick that I've been dreaming about forever!
You've been dreaming about Rick?
Gosh, Dad. No, but his development has finally come to a point where it's like, yes! Because you know how I love Shane so much is because he can make decisions and be brutal about it, but still come out on top, you know what I'm saying? Still keep it together. Not so much with Shane. He a little went off the panhandle. But with Rick, he can now finally become the ultimate. I don't know what I'm saying here, but I'm just really happy for Rick. I'm just glad he's back. He's not, now I know what I'm saying. He's not so indecisive anymore. Not always, you know, questioning his decisions. He's, you know, really sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree there. And there's a lot of scenes in this episode where the other thing I liked about it was it kind of had me jumping up and down in my seat. And
yes.
Just like, I thought I was going to pass out. I was hyperventilating. For some reason. I don't know why.
I know.
I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And it's, it was pretty awesome.
I know. Okay. Can I just say that I was right about the prediction for this episode? At least half right. Closer than you.
Well, I did say that there was going to be a scene where...
there was going to be a confrontation,
Between Daryl and the Claimers, which happened, actually. We'll get into that a little bit later. So I was kind of right about that. The big surprise was that no one died.
Yeah, I'm glad, because then I would not be able to do this podcast right now if anybody died at this point.
Well, there was a few people that if they disappeared, I wouldn't care too much. I'd say, yeah, oh well.
Well, I could see that coming.
That's sad.
It's okay.
Let's move on.
I'm not that attached to that character in particular. Yeah, what I predicted was that Terminus was going to appear to be great, but very organized, and they used people as what I thought originally was like a game of thing. They used them as toys, kind of similar to what they're doing, because I thought they were cannibals. I still think they're cannibals. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll get into details in that. So,
but I was pretty close. I was so happy.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So let's get into this episode right away, because we don't want to waste any more precious time.
No review stuff? No, feedback?
Oh, okay. Well, we can talk about some predictions that we got
on our Facebook page.
On the Facebook page.
Oh, do we have any audio, voicemail? No? Okay.
So we have a lot of people saying that people were going to die this episode.
Yeah. Because it seems like every season finale or mid-season finale, someone dies. So this is actually kind of new. No one died.
But no one died.
Well, yeah, Alex died.
You feel sad for Alex.
Yeah, he's so nice. He's like, he seemed like, you know, a nice guy. I had that weird smile on his face, you know, it's like friendly, you know, hippie look, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I'm just sad.
And we had a comment from Vic Miller saying that I think Tara is the sacrificial lamb for the season, which I kind of thought too, but she's still around. They actually never did anything with any of the other cast members. They
it was just, really just focusing on Rick and Michonne. And yeah, because they've only been in like two episodes this season, so it's kind of nice to have them back full, you know?
Vic predicted correctly that the Claimers catch up to Rick and Daryl will have to break ranks to save Rick. Mm-hmm. Which happened. I think a lot of people predicted that. Vic says Carol and his crew and the crew show up at Terminus just in time to help save Rick's group. And by doing so, Carol is let back into the group.
Oh, so saying that Rick still doesn't like Carol? But it seems like he's forgotten all that now.
I don't think he's forgotten, but Tyrese will come to her defense. That's what Vic says. So that could still happen.
I mean, I feel at this point, that's not important. I feel like he thinks the past is in the past. What's done is done. Now we have to focus on the now, because you can't really bring up all drama when you're trapped inside a train car. I mean, you could,
but
you have nothing else to do. But
the fact that Carol is still out there with Tyrese is a big deal, because that's going to play out in next season, right?
No, they're in the. Oh yeah, they're still out there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So that's going to play out.
Oh, well, that would be interesting. Oh yeah, and let's see Judith. Oh my God, the reunion is going to be amazing.
Yeah. And Vic says also that we'll see, Vic says that we're going to see the car that kidnapped Beth, that is going to be parked in the alley at Terminus, but that never happened. So we still don't know what's going on with Beth.
I think the mortuary area with the whole thing, I was thinking about Beth, and I feel sorry for her. No one knows what's happened to her. I kind of wish because it's hard not knowing. You know, It's because there's so many things that could have happened. She could be dead. She could be perfectly fine. You know, I don't think we'll ever find out. I will hope we find out next season. I miss Beth. Kind of like her.
Why, how things have changed.
So let's get into the episode.
Yeah. So in this one, we had a lot of flashbacks,
which actually played in nice. It was nice because it kind of showed us the beginnings of Rick helping Carl come back to, or being a father, I guess. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was. We see how Rick, way back before he
started farming, and we kind of get to see how Rick took Herschel's advice and basically aids Carl into being more responsible for his actions, or because before at that point he killed a kid in cold blood and he was playing with guns instead of Legos and he just didn't really care anymore. So he's trying to get Carl back because he needs his father and he needs to know how to be a good person or else he'll get lost in the whole apocalypse death thing.
Yeah, so all the whole purpose of the flashbacks was to walk us through that whole transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And
they are now.
They do it piece by piece. And every time they do it, they juxtapose a scene of the present.
Yeah.
To see kind of the difference for Rick and
like
Carl.
Like the effects, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first scene in the cold open scene is a flashback to Rick returning from one of his last runs and basically what he's been doing before he started taking up farming, and then just Herschel looking on, right? And looking at Carl, who seems to be very dead inside. I don't know if I got that vibe. And then we have a flash forward to Rick by this pickup truck, or not a pickup truck, this like SUV type truck, and all bloody and just sitting there, you know, covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just contemplating. And then we have a scene where Michonne, Rick, and Carl is hanging out in the forest eating food. And then Rick decides to say, let's go check on the traps. Carl joins him. And this is important too. Carl joins Rick at this point to go check the snares. It's letting us know that they're on good terms now. You know what I'm saying? Because later on, when Rick asks Carl if he wants to hang out with him to check the terminus perimeter, he's like, no, I'm okay. So you know they weren't on good terms there.
Yeah. So, and then we have a scene where they're walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carl's walking with Michonne and Rick. And this is very important because Carl asks, you know, what are we going to tell them, you know, when we arrive at Terminus?
Yeah. Like,
so what do you think about that?
I thought it was is very interesting because I never really thought of that. Like when you, the identity thing during the apocalypse, because usually when you meet new people, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm a carpenter. I live in this, this and that. I grew up this place, blah, blah, blah. But in the apocalypse, you don't really have any of that stuff. You don't really have anything that identifies you. You're just, I'm a survivor kind of thing. And I've been through so much. And there's so much crap that they've been through that maybe if they tell them, it wouldn't really work for their benefit kind of thing.
Yeah, because they did some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's like, who are they? Would they let that stuff, like their past, define them?
Yeah. And he says, do we tell them the truth? And he says, who are we? One thing I made note of here is that I think the reason why Carl is, which we'll find out later when he's talking to Michonne, the reason why I think Carl is asking this question is because he's afraid of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, deep down inside, he's a bad person.
He believes he's a bad
person. He thinks he's a bad person because he has bad thoughts. And he's afraid that if he goes to Terminus, he's going to have to reveal that.
Yeah.
He's going to have to reveal that to them.
He's no longer innocent.
The termites. That's what they're called now, the termites.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what...
Terminus, termite. Yeah, perfect. I really like Carl's development. And you can actually see the effects of what Rick has tried to do with him in the farm, which I think, or the farming thing at back of the prison, which I think is really, that's why they had the flashback to parallel and kind of show you his, you know, beginnings. Because the fact that Carl's even thinking about his, who he is, if he's a good person or not, because he has guilt from what he's done, you know, killed that kid and all that stuff. That's a good thing. That's a step towards, you know, realizing you're a good person kind of thing, or like at least recognizing what you've been done wrong. Because, you know, a crazy person or people that are like evil, they don't care. They have no conscience. So the fact that he has a conscience is a good thing, a good sign.
Yeah. Well, the fact that he's kind of thinking about who he is and mm-hmm. thinking about himself like that in that context, looking like from the outside looking in,
mm-hmm.
I guess is a good thing. So yeah, so I think that's what the whole point of that conversation was just to for Carl to say that, you know, I'm afraid of who I am, really. That's, and I don't want to tell.
Yeah, I felt that was pretty deep of him to say.
The Terminians, anything.
Yeah, because I was pretty surprised. Like, oh, okay, he's, yeah. And if I was to answer the question, I would say, well, I think I would say they're just survivors, just like anybody else. Because I think other people in their position, you know, traveling on the road and surviving for like 2 years in the apocalypse, you think about it, they've survived a long time in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That anybody would have gone through some of the same, not same things, but had to do bad things. I don't feel like they should be too worried about if they're the only people or like if what they did is okay, because you have to do what you have to do to survive.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, you know, when we started from season one and we moved on through the different seasons, there's always been that, at the beginning, there's always been that hope that, hey, there's some good people out there, or there's good people and bad people and so on and so forth. And As the seasons have been progressing, you kind of losing hope with every episode and with every season. You lose
because it seems like they're doing more and more bad things, like worse things, and they're being okay with it.
Even our group that we like, they do bad things too.
Yeah, but we're getting used to. I feel like we're changing our opinions with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if we started watching from now, before ever seeing their progression before, we'd be like, oh my God, who are these people? These people are like, you know, they're monsters.
Yeah. Especially today's episode with Rick.
Yeah. Even that was a little scary for me. And I've like been studying Rick forever.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. This is new.
Right. So that we've been losing that hope. And then basically the fact, and I think the whole point, I think this episode was meant to answer all the questions of this season.
Yeah.
Because in the season, there was like, well, like Herschel said, you know, you can come back from where you were and become a nice person again and forget all the crap you did, mm-hmm. right? But I think the answer...
Is you can't
come back.
You just change.
You just take that and for what it is, and you just become...
You have to forget your past. That's the only way you can survive. Because many episodes we've seen that where it's like, if you keep remembering your past, it's going to eat you up and you're going to die. Yep. You won't be able to survive because you won't be able to let go...
And you won't be able to make decisions.
Exactly. Because you'd be like, I wouldn't have done this if I was in, you know, in pre-apocalypse. Like, you have to get that mentality out of your head. That's like, this is the world now and the rules have changed kind of thing.
Yeah. And then we have another flashback where we're going back to Herschel. So Herschel has been monitoring Carl and
oh, we forgot to talk about the part where someone says, help. in the forest.
That's later, I think.
No, that's in the same.
I think that's later.
Oh, I think I have it right before the flashback.
Oh, okay, we can talk about that. But there's also the part with the trap. Well, we talked a little bit about
that. Yeah, so after they're looking at the trap, someone calls for help and calls the first one.
By the way, the trap that Rick described is the same as Terminus, basically.
Basically, yeah. You got to lead them, give them a trail, give them a pathway, and they'll lead straight into where you want them to go. I like when they do stuff like that. They have like metaphors or like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So the trap is Terminus.
Basically.
We've concluded.
And so someone screams out help. Carl's the first one to bolt up and start running.
Why, Carl?
Oh, God dang it, Carl. See, I would have been like, okay, there's someone screaming. We've got to be cautious about this. I would wait a while. Wait for the chomping. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you wait for the chomping, then what's the point of helping someone? You can't
That's
help.
True. Yeah, you can't really help them anyway. I'd rather not.
You don't know it. That.
Mm, but there's one guy. Come on. And you know they're traveling herds.
You don't know that. You could. I just curious, like, what's this guy in the middle of nowhere doing?
With no supplies, no backpack.
And glasses.
And glasses. Like, how does he not
Why does he have glasses in the apocalypse? This is unacceptable. You cannot have glasses. I'm sorry.
Hey, Patrick had glasses.
That's true.
But he died.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kidding. But that basically, I just found it strange that he was just by himself in the open, surrounded by walkers.
That's always weird, too.
I guess it could happen.
I would not want to be by myself in the apocalypse. I would go crazy.
I think the whole point of that scene was to show that, hey, Carl wanted to help this poor guy, and then...
He's a good person.
And Rick was like, yeah, it's too late. Sorry. Can't help him.
But man, when that walker took off his face, that made me, that was good. That was really good. Like, he took off his eye and he's like, oh my God. Pretty intense. That was a good scene.
Yeah, I wonder if the guy had like a special mask on to protect him, because that walker was really digging into his face.
I know. Ooh. Anyway, flashback afterwards.
Yes, flashback to Herschel.
Herschel is waking up Rick. And then Rick's like, what's going on? He's like, nothing. I just want to show you. See, if you ever want to teach a lesson to someone, or if you ever want to get someone to do something, don't tell them right away. Say, lead them like as if this is a surprise or something.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he did. He's like, hey,
is that what I have to do for you to get you to do stuff?
Yeah, because you use their curiosity. Because if Herschel's just like, hey, I want you to go farming with me, let's go. He'd be like, no, I got stuff to do. But the fact is like, waking you up bright and early, let's go. I have something to show you. You don't need your gun. I was like, oh, really? I don't know. It just makes it more interesting.
And then Rick walks by him and just gives him this look like, what are you kidding me? No guns?
Yeah, like,
I'm not putting them down.
And then Beth had Judith, and I was like, she's so cute. Is that a younger Judith, or is that another baby? Probably another baby, because the baby was pretty small, because Judith is really big now.
Yeah, it was a younger baby. They had to find one.
Yeah.
And actually, all these scenes were new scenes that they filmed. They never had...
Yeah, they didn't film this.
Film these before, and they had to bring back Herschel.
Yeah,
which is Scott nice. Scott Wilson to do the episode.
Which is really nice to see him again. So after that flashback, Rick and the group find this SUV down the road.
Yeah.
They hole up there for the night. And right before they hole up, though, Michonne finds this walker that's been, like, flattened. Remember that walker, that goblin walker? That was weird.
That was kind of like a melted, kind of...
Deflated.
It was like as if it was like the witch in Wizard of Oz, you know, when it has the water and she melts away.
Uh-huh.
So like half of the body was melted into the ground, and it was like the other half was like up.
Wait, why was it like that? Was it because someone ran over it, or just it was immobilized and it just...
I think it was just decomposing.
Ooh, that's gross.
Or it could have got both, like run over and then started decomposing. Who knows? It was flattened. Half of it was flattened.
It's gross, man. She took it out.
You should have one of those in the front lawn in Halloween.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
I could totally like dig up the front and just bury myself in the ground. And just,
that's
like...
doing the most. That's doing the most, though. I don't know.
It'll scare a few people.
Mm-hmm. It was nighttime, and then they're sitting around and they're just like hanging out. And then I didn't get this the first time, but the second time we watched it, he was like, Rick said, oh, that was a pretty small REM. I'm like, what's a REM?
A rabbit.
Oh, rabbit.
Pretty small rabbit.
I'm like, okay, I got that. Okay. And then Michelle's like, that's all we talk about, food.
They both said that. Well, it's talk about food and how to get food and the fact that they're hungry and this and that.
Mm-hmm. And then Michonne says, she said, oh, I miss this.
No, Rick said, I missed this.
Missed this what? Just hanging out? And
no. Talking about food, because he's basically saying that they were in the prison before, mm-hmm. and they had the luxury of not thinking about food.
So why would you miss talking about food?
Well, before they got to the prison,
okay,
they were in the same position, right? They were like in the forest struggling,
mm-hmm.
right? Going from house to house and all that stuff. And then, so that was a certain way of life, right?
So they missed that way of life?
And then they got back to the prison and then
they had food storage, and then they had
they didn't have conversations about food anymore. They had conversations about other things.
Yeah.
And now they're back out in the forest. It's like, oh yeah, like good old times. I miss this. You know,
oh,
we were
okay.
we were hunting and stuff, mm-hmm. talking about food. And then Michonne said something about, yeah, I can't wait to miss it again.
Oh, basically saying that Terminus is not going to be all it's cracked up to be.
No. Basically that I can't wait to find a place to settle down so that we don't have to be looking for food again.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I know, it was a roundabout way of saying it, but yeah.
Man. And then Michonne talks about, she's wondering if Terminus is really legit. And they're talking about, okay, you know, what would happen if it's not good, you know, which is good because they're not like, unlike Glenn and Maggie and Sasha and all those other people, they were like, oh, maybe Terminus is good. Let's go check it out. And they walked right through the front gates. Rick is more cautious. Like, we don't know what it's like. You know, it could be another, you know, Woodbury. We don't know. And so.
And they were saying that. Basically,
they have to be strong to let people in.
Right.
Yeah. And they're suspicious because they're saying, well, they must be strong and they must be organized. So,
yeah.
And then they heard something in the forest. They got up, you know, looked around, sat back down, continued talking. And then Joe's group showed up and ambushed them.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Okay. So from this point on, I just
lost it.
I just lost it. Because they're sitting down, they're in the middle of nowhere. And no protection, and they get ambushed, and they're surrounded. It's a no-win situation, right? I thought, okay.
There's no way out of this.
Someone's going to die here.
Yeah, someone's going to have to die.
And there was many scenes, many kind of cuts where you thought, okay, now this person's going to die. That person's going to die.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what happened. Can we explain what happened? Okay. So Joe points the gun to Rick's head and says, hey, we found you. And what is he talking about? He's saying, oh.
It's reckoning time.
Reckoning time, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, this is bad. This is really, really bad. And then, but you noticed Daryl wasn't with them. Commercial break. Oh, man. And then we came back and Rick's, okay, this is where I started. This is where I really appreciate Rick. And this is where I'm like, yes, the Rick that I love is back. Or why? Not even back, because but different.
Because of the Rick face.
Yes, how did you know? the classic Rick face, just the same one he gave to that guy when he was underneath the bed. They're like, oh, really? Really? It was like, he's just like getting intense. You know, he's like, stuff's going to go down. And the reason why he was like that is because they took one of the other guys, I think his name was Dan, took Carl out of the car, started like messing around with him. And of course, Rick was like, don't mess with my son. Right? And he was like, all, you know, pissed off and stuff. And he was really, he's not going to sit there and just take it. You know, he's not going to be hot. Although season one, Rick would have been like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's be sensible about this. You know,
friendly.
You were friendly kind of thing. But this Rick knows. He's like, okay, these guys were the people from the house. He made the connection. He's like, there's no way out of this. They're messing with my son. I ain't going to take any of it.
And then he does like a, like kind of like a Superman kind of thing. Like yeah. like the Matrix. Like it's like.
If you can kind of see what he's doing right now, it's hilarious.
And he like pushes him off.
No,
and,
what he did was he headbutted him.
And Joe goes flying.
Yeah, and then it goes slow motion, right? And there's like ringing because he shot the gun.
So and then
he's
the gun went off.
He's like, do, you know, like.
Yeah, it was like. And basically, I'm like, okay, so. Where did that gun fire? I thought, uh-oh, maybe the gun.
Are they shot? Like, what happened?
No, I thought maybe. The gun fired and shot Rick. Oh, no. I mean,
Michonne?
Carl or Michonne.
Oh, Carl, yeah.
By accident, because that would be horrible.
I know, you're waiting for someone to die. I was just waiting for something to happen. So what happened is he headbutted him, the slow-mo, because he fired the gun, but it missed him, and he's just like reacting to the ringing, which is really realistic, which I like, because you know in action movies, someone fires the gun, they don't really react to the fact that, yeah, a loud noise. And then, oh, one thing we forgot to mention, that Joe said that it was New Year's Eve that day.
Was it New Year's? I don't know.
I thought, maybe.
Well, he said that, but I don't know if it was true. He was just making.
How would you know?
He's making psychotic comments.
Psychotic comments.
I don't know.
But think about it. That the New Year's, he's a new man. Rick's
exactly,
a new man.
Exactly. New Year's resolution is to kill everyone in sight.
Mm-hmm. Basically. So then Rick, it kind of backfired on Rick. Not really, because he kind of like got down.
he was almost like superhuman at that point. He's like,
he was using his adrenaline.
Something switched and Simon says, okay, turn on your superpowers. And then he just blew him off. And then he just got up and then just said, you know, let's do this.
Yeah, start fighting.
And then started punching
him
and stuff.
And then Daryl came in. He's like, wait, was that before? No, we forgot to mention what happened before. Did Daryl come in before he punched him or after?
Oh, yeah. Daryl came in before. Forgot about Daryl.
Yeah, we were just so intense about what happened with Rick and stuff. We forgot about Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl came in and tried to say, hold up. Because Joe was counting down.
He's so like, these are good people. And he says, I killed Louie or Lou or whatever. And you can't. And he killed one of our own. I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't know you really cared that much about each other. The way you took off Len was pretty, you know. Off the cusp.
It's all BS.
Yeah, they just like doing stuff like that.
I told you in the last episode that these people are evil. Yes, they have some kind of code, quote unquote code. But when it comes down to it, they'd rather have a
bloodthirsty fight than actually
just
be reasonable.
Ruthless. Because the Dan guy, I think he was about to rape Carl.
That's what I was thinking. I heard belt buckles. Yeah. You know, I was like, what the heck?
He was totally going to rape Carl.
Oh my God.
And he flipped him over and everything. So.
Oh, that creeped me out. I didn't think about it because I was like, oh, that's so like jacked up. That's like not even funny. That is actually kind of realistic of what would happen though.
Yeah. He was totally going to rape him. And then.
Daryl's like, hey, don't. He's a good person. And he's like, no, he killed Lou. And you know.
These are good people. And then to the point where Daryl was even going to be sacrificed.
So he's like, hey, you want blood?
Himself.
I know. I get it. Yeah. So take me. And then Joe's like, okay, well, you know, you say he's a good person, but he killed Lou. I think that's a lie. Like, okay, really? Sure, okay. And then, teach him, boy. Teach him all the way.
Yeah, he said, teach him all the way, which was code word for kill him, basically.
Like Len.
Yeah.
And they started, and then the two guys started beating up Daryl. And I think that's when Rick flipped, right?
No, he flipped when he saw, you know, the big guy going on top of Carl.
Oh, yeah. And then the guy's like, he's like, oh, this is all me. Leave him alone. You don't have to do anything. He's like, no, we're reasonable men. We'll kill Daryl first. Then we'll kill the girl, then the boy, then you. Like, how's that reasonable?
So what were you feeling during this whole thing?
It was all a blur. I was scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know. Because before Rick reacted, I was scared that they wouldn't be able to get out of it. But once I saw Rick do that headbutt, I was okay. Then I felt better.
No, I wasn't totally 100% out of the woods yet because
I saw his face. I saw Rick's face. And that face, I know that someone's going to get down and he's going to come out on top of this thing. I didn't think anybody was going to die. I wouldn't.
Well, because after Rick did that, Michonne also got the courage to also do it. And she hit the guy and his gun went off too. And then he came back and regained his position and I thought, okay, he's going to kill Michonne right then and there.
Oh, that is true. I was scared at many points but he didn't shoot her, which is so stupid because if I was that guy, I would have totally shot her. I mean, all hell's breaking loose. Your boss there is getting in a fight. Oh, well, you know, overrule here. She's trying to get let go and I'm going to shoot her, but he didn't, obviously. And
which was strange that he didn't shoot her, but I think maybe these guys were kind of cocky and overconfident.
Yeah,
and they
definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
These guys are just struggling to get out. They're not going to make it anyway.
I was scared when Michonne started firing because I didn't know who was firing. And I thought, oh my God, someone's going to get shot. So when she shot one of the guys, I thought it was like Daryl. I'm like, oh my God, did she misfire or something? Like, but you know, it was one of the guys and that was attacking Daryl. And then Daryl got up, attacked the guy.
So, and then Rick started punching, and then he does the crazy...
Well, first, they were kind of like in an embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, what are you going to do, sport? And then he takes a giant bite out of his neck. And I was surprised. When he first initially bit into his neck, I thought, I was like, okay, this is just going to subdue him. But it really just, he really went for it and really took out a giant, like, fatal chunk out of his neck.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa!
And he started bleeding.
I was like taken aback because I'm like, oh, that's smart biting his neck. But I didn't think I thought he was just going to bite his neck just to let him go. I didn't think he was going to rip his neck open.
What do you think he was going to do? Give him a hickey or something?
I thought he was just going to, you know how people bite people to let them go if they're like in a position that's like very, you know.
Like a bite, but not like a bite through?
Yeah.
He didn't think it was going to bite through all the way through. It was just going to bite him.
At least I didn't think it was going to be so vicious.
Like you bite your brother all the time?
No. No, like a bite, like a big, hard enough bite for him to let go.
Yeah, so he basically bit a whole chunk of flesh out of his neck, and it just blood started spurting everywhere.
And it collapsed.
And then Rick spit the the piece.
There's of a slow-mo the moment there too.
Into the camera. And then he went down. Joe went down. And then basically everybody just freaked out.
Because they're like, whoa, this is...
Their leader's dead. And then...
This guy is crazy.
Yeah. And then Michonne took the gun from one of the guys and shot him. And then shot some other guy. And then...
The Dan guy that got Carl. He's like... Then he got scared. He's like... No. First he's like, no. But he's like, no, man, I'm going to kill the kid. And then once he saw Rick being like, and started walking towards him, he's like, hey, yo, I'm sorry. No, don't do anything. Because he saw him. He's like, I don't want him to rip my neck open.
Well, Rick said, let me handle this. I've got this one.
Yeah.
Because basically that's the one that was attacking Carl, right? So mm-hmm. He's like, personal touch. He wanted to give the personal revenge.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he got his knife and stabbed him in the gut. And then basically just kept going up. He basically gutted him like a pig.
When he first initially stabbed him, I'm like, yes, this is the Rick I like. Yeah. Right. And then once he kept going, I'm like, what? I don't know how I feel about this. Because then I saw Carl's face. I'm like, what is Carl? This is going to print Carl. Is this going to affect Carl in any way? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because Carl's witnessing all this.
Yeah. And.
And then
just keep going until commercial break, man.
He gutted him all the way up, and then he kept stabbing him. Ooh,
man,
multiple times.
That sound though, when they were closing into Carl's face, and that sound, I was like, oh,
yeah. And then they
stabbing
had,
sound.
They had basically multiple squashing, stabbing. So basically, showing that Rick was going over the top, basically with the killing. That's what they were trying to show. And then Daryl just staring at him too. He was like, ooh,
that's kind of
that's weird.
And I really, really like how Rick is a really good dad.
He is?
He really cares about his son. You know what I'm saying? He literally will do anything for his son. He will turn into a psychopath for his son. And I can't ignore that, Dad.
Well, I think that's the
whole... Take some notes.
Okay. Become a psychopath for your kids. Okay?
No, I think that's really... I don't know. I like that stuff. It's really nice. I mean...
It's touching. It's sweet.
Sorry, this sounds really bad. But you get what I'm kind of going for, right? Like, literally, he would do anything for his son.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's just basically showing that Rick is using... That's his superpower, basically.
It's his son?
Well, not his son, but that anger inside of him.
That's the thing. Yeah, because later, if we want to skip a little bit ahead to Aftermath in the morning, when he's by the truck and he's talking to Daryl, he says, I accept this part of me because it's what's been keeping Carl safe and everybody else I love safe. That part of him kind of thing. So as long as it's keeping my family safe, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So we have a scene that we're going to play between Daryl and Rick, which I found very touching. So let's hear that now.
I didn't know what they were. How'd you wind up with them? How's it, Beth? We got out together. How's the weather for a while? Is she dead? She's just gone. After that, that's when they found me. I mean, I knew they were bad, but they had a code. It was simple. Stupid. But it was something. It was enough.
And you were alone.
They said they were looking for some guy. And last night they said they spotted him. I was hanging back. I was gonna leave. But I stayed. That's when I saw it was you three. Right when you saw me. I didn't know what they could do.
It's not on you, Daryl. Not on you. You being back with us here now, that's everything. You're my my brother.
Hey, what you did last night, anybody would have done that.
No, not that.
Something happened. That ain't you.
Daryl, you saw what I did to Tyrese. It ain't all of it, but that's me. That's why I'm here now. That's why Carl is. I want to keep him safe. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's it.
So it seems like he's kind of at peace with it.
Yeah, he's kind of...
He's accepted that side of him, and he's not really... Yeah, he's just come to terms with it, you know, kind of... at peace with that part of him, because after all, that's what's keeping him alive.
Yeah, and after Daryl tries to explain himself as to why he was with those people, he basically turns back to Rick and says, oh, that's not really you. And then Rick says, uh-uh, that's me.
It's part of me. It's not all of me, but that is me.
Yeah, so deal with it, basically. It's like, don't try to play it down. That's there, so...
And it's okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
And I like how Daryl really felt like he needed to say something to him about that whole situation, even though Rick knows that he was just doing what he had to do to stay alive, because, you know, you can't survive on your own out there.
Yeah, because Daryl looks up to Rick and feels connected with him, and he didn't want Rick to feel that he got betrayed.
Yeah.
By Daryl.
But Rick knows that.
Yeah.
Because he saw that when he really was willing to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
And then he says, it's like, you're my brother.
I almost cried there. I almost teared up.
Aw, really?
Yeah, because if you think about, even now that I'm thinking about it, it's like really emotional. And the fact that this show made me like that way is like...
Is it incredible? Because I know you. You don't cry about anything.
No, because it just...
You don't feel anything. You're a robot.
This scene on its own doesn't really mean anything, but... You have to think about the history of Daryl, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how he's been struggling his whole life to...
Find a place.
Find somebody to connect to, like a brother, or like his real brother is not really his brother.
No, it's bad for him.
You know what I mean? And to hear Rick say, you know, you're like a brother to me.
Is like, amazing.
Can you imagine what Daryl might be feeling when to hear that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh... This is awesome.
This
like,
guy I really look up to, who I really care and I trust with my life, he feels the same way.
Mm-hmm. So that bonding moment is basically...
Crucial for him.
Yeah, crucial for Daryl. And
it's even nice for Rick to have someone to trust, because he trusts him.
Yeah.
With his kid, you know what I'm saying? Unlike Shane.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's why I like that moment, because it just...
And I would be honored if... Rick called me his sister. I'm like, oh, this is so great.
You mean the character, Rick?
Yeah.
And even later after that, there's a scene where Rick and Michonne are walking together and he goes to her, I'm okay.
Yeah, he says, he's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah. He's like, he's like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, how? He says, because I'm okay.
Yeah.
What do you think that means? I think it means like, oh, the reason why I know you're okay is because I'm alive. Or like... And like you've succeeded, so I know you're okay, because you just want to keep people safe.
I think Michonne says, I know you're okay because I'm okay.
Oh, like she's okay with it?
No.
What happened? Oh.
Because she's been there.
She's
been there.
Yeah.
So she knows how. So because.
She knows how it feels.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I was a psychopath at some point. Well, with.
I like how we throw that word loosely around.
I mean, I was a little off the deep end because I had like. Pet walkers on chains,
and I've living done in the some forest. Things, yeah. And if and I came back, so I know you're okay.
And I was, you know, walking with the herd. You know, I was dancing with the herd, not dancing with wolves, but dancing with the herd. And I came back from that, and I'm okay. Yeah, see, I'm kind of living with it. So you kind of in the same boat, and I know you're okay. So because you're actually talking to me about it,
yeah,
and you're actually saying that I'm okay. So. Yeah, so they're on the same team.
It's a good thing that Daryl stayed when he was about to leave. Good thing he stayed.
Yeah, because he was saying that he was Because we were saying, leaving. You know, why doesn't Daryl leave the group?
Yeah.
And it sounds like he was going to. Mm-hmm. He was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And also Rick is attributing his success with protecting Carl to the fact that he has a little bit of that crazy anger inside of him, right? That instinct.
Yeah, that rawness there. Yeah, it's like keeping him alive.
He says that's why Carl's alive.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like really close to Terminus. And instead of going straight, he goes, let's go in the forest. We'll come around the side so we can analyze the place. And I'm like, how does Rick know everything? I thought, how did he know all this stuff? Like, did he learn it from his classical training at a police school or something? Or is it just experience over time? Because Rick knows everything. He really is the leader. Because Daryl didn't think about it. You know, he's like, oh, we'll go straight shot.
I think Daryl would have thought about it, too.
No, he's like, okay. Like, whatever you want.
Well, Rick is definitely calling the shots, but I think Daryl's pretty smart, too. But I think...
It's just that Rick is so smart, man.
The fact that he's not going straight in. Well, it just... It makes common sense, Jasmine.
Then why didn't anybody else do it? Why didn't Glenn do it?
Because they're idiots. They just walked into an open gate. Really? That makes sense?
See, that's what I'm saying.
That makes sense.
Not everybody's like Rick.
It makes sense to walk through an open gate?
No, it doesn't.
No, it does not make sense. I would not do that.
I would think that Glenn would do the same thing that Rick is doing, given that they've been in the same exact boat when it happened at the prison and with the Woodbury stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I just, that's why I'm like really like saying Rick is really smart in this world, at least, because he's the only one that did that.
Yeah. And also something else that someone mentioned to us, you know, when we went to that, we spoke to Davi. Remember, he said that Abraham also kind of screwed up because Abraham is supposed to be protecting
Eugene.
And so Abraham's supposed to be protecting Eugene. So why didn't he think of
going through the side?
Through the side. Because
he wouldn't go through the tunnel, but he's willing to go to the front doors of some Terminus place that he doesn't even know. Well, because he's never been through the Woodbury stuff, you know, and all those fakeness.
Yeah, we don't know. He's from military. He should be smarter than that. And he wants to protect Eugene. Like, why did he run into that? So I don't know. But Rick is smarter, I guess, than everyone.
Maybe because it imprinted him so much that he's like, he has no other choice.
Yeah. And I like that Rick buried some guns.
That was really smart. Finally, someone's doing the right thing here. Because he's a just in case, you know, which is going to come very in handy now if they ever get out of that box.
So there was a scene where Rick says, Carl, come with me. And Carl says, no, I don't think so. And then Carl's walking with Michonne. And
Michonne's like, why didn't you go with your father? And he says, well, wait, what did he say?
He's probably scared of him. That's why.
Yeah, but did he say he's scared of him?
No, but that's what
Michonne thought.
That's what everybody thought. Yeah.
And then Michonne
described some stuff that happened with her.
And how Andre died. And he says, I know how he died. He's like, no, but it's important to know
how. How did it die?
Basically, they were at a refugee camp, probably in the early apocalypse, set up by the government, because the government thinks they know everything. And they think putting everybody in one giant group, not really checking to see if anybody has bites or whatnot, is a great thing. Okay, I have my own theories about refugee camps. And she left him with her boyfriend and his friend, Mike. And what's his other name?
Mike, I don't know what the other guy's
Mike
name
and
was.
Terry. Mike okay, and Terry.
Terry.
And then she came back from a run and she found saw the fences were down and everybody was overrun and she knew that they were bit and she let them turn and then she kept them as pets because they were high when this whole thing happened.
So they were high on drugs and then she thought that because they were high, that's why her baby got killed. And so they weren't sort of all there to begin with to protect her baby. So
yeah,
pissed off.
Yeah.
And figured, okay, well,
as revenge, I'm going to let you turn and then I'm going to use you as my pets. Okay. To make them like a constant reminder to her or to them. It was a constant reminder to her to have trusted them or something, or just a reminder to them that this is what you deserve.
I don't remember. I was basically, she was just going on like, she says it was insane and it was sick.
Yeah. She says they protected me and...
Well, but the thing is...
I became...
That was accidental.
Yeah.
She didn't really do it on purpose to protect her. She just did it as revenge and kind of a reminder of the whole situation. And so she didn't really like what she did because she was saying it was insane and sick. So so she didn't really
like... And for a while, I wasn't myself, you know? And then I met Rick and I met you and it changed everything. and you brought me back, basically.
Yeah.
So she's basically saying that you can come back from this. I know you're afraid of Rick right now, but
I've been there too.
I've been there too. And look at me, we're best friends. So you can come back. And it seemed like Carl really took what she said to heart because he looked like he was almost going to cry for her. You know what I'm saying? And then...
Well, it's a sad story.
It is. And then Carl said, you know...
But he's like, yeah, I understand all that and that's cool and that's a nice story, but I actually I'm not worried about that.
I'm worried about that I'm not a good enough... I'm the monster because Rick told him that he was proud of him, of the man, the good man he's become. And Carl doesn't believe he's a good man because he still has these thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are these thoughts? So thoughts about he's done or thoughts about what he could potentially do? He's okay
both,
with doing.
He killed that kid, right?
Yeah.
In cold blood.
And so he has carrying some guilt from that.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that he still thinks it's okay or he still thinks of ways, I don't know.
That it's okay to kill people.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that he knows that he's thinking that way and it's bad is a good thing.
That it's okay to kill people that are not part of your group, regardless. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's an enemy. That's what I think he's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's bad. And yeah. You should always just shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. So the fact that he recognizes that is a good sign, you know? He's not letting it control him. He's not thinking that, yeah, that is right, you know? Well, he knows it's wrong.
That also means that there's a struggle inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also putting on a front for Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Which could come back to bite them.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah, because Rick needs Carl to be on his A game and right there by his side, not like having this weird, wishy-washy kind of ideas that, you know, I'm not
sure. I don't think that that is going to show up really soon in season 5. Like, I think.
Ooh, predictions.
Ooh, yeah, predictions. Ah, ha, ha. Because Rick, no, Carl knows that Rick needs him. And I think he's going to keep it together because at this point, he can kill anybody at that place because they're all like jacked up anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay. So it's not like worrying about that. I just think that that problem's going to rise if they ever really have sit down time or like, I don't know.
I just think that it's going to come up to the surface at some point. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that to Michonne, but it's going to come up with Rick as well, I think, at some point.
Yeah. So they bury the guns. That was a really good scene with Michonne and Carl. And they arrive at Terminus. They jump over the fence and they go towards the back door. And then they see them first before they see them.
That was a weird scene. It's like they just got caught off guard. It's like walking into the backstage of a production.
Yeah, like Wizard of Oz, you know, the whole, the Oz is actually a
behind
guy.
Behind the curtain. Because they showed this woman talking in the calm voice into the radio. That was actually the woman they heard that
through the radio.
Daryl heard in the car, right?
And had this giant map on the wall.
Different Terminus maps.
Yeah.
Like they were, like it was a.
Like headquarters.
Like kinda. It was around the clock operation.
Mm-hmm. Because they had people in the back making signs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, painting things and all that. And they caught them off guard and they're like, oh, hey, welcome. This is weird. This is not really where you usually come in, but. Welcome, you know? And he said, coming through the back, that's smart, you know? And he says, yeah, we wanted to see you before you see us.
So there's a new character we
Garrett or Girth?
I
didn't quite get that because I heard
his name
Girth, but then someone, Alex called him Garrett.
Gareth.
Gareth, okay, so it's a bit of both. What kind of name is that, Gareth? Sorry, I don't know.
It's a good name as any, I guess.
Yeah, so Gareth looks suspicious to me. I really like Alex. Alex is cool. The, you know, the hippie hoodie dude with the plaid shirt and the hoodie. And Gareth was just like, oh, welcome, guys. Obviously, we need to check your weapons and all that. He seemed pretty okay, though. He seemed like nice, but not the weird, overly nice, like the governor nice. It was the nice as in like the legit kind. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, I know we're all here. I know you're nervous. I know this is weird, you know, but we're good people. Come on, just check your weapons.
Like, oh, darn, you came through the back door. You're supposed to come to the front because, you know, we want to put like our welcome mats out and do it properly. But hey, you know, you're here. You came through the back. That's fine.
That's okay.
That's cool with us.
He opened up. He's like, oh, I guess that person's not on watch. And then like chuckling. Like, oh, are you here to rob us? Or, you know, he's pretty chill about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Maybe too chill.
Well, obviously, it's all a front.
This was one of the most interesting scenes of The Walking Dead, though. This whole sequence from Terminus to what they are now. I found a lot of clues. There's a lot of things to like analyze. I was like, oh, so much stuff. I wrote notes. I was like, I can't wait to analyze this.
Really?
Yeah.
So they said, okay, fine. But first of all, you gotta put down your weapons.
And, you understand that, right?
And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Here's another governor. You know, yeah, give us your weapons and yeah, we'll keep them here for safekeeping, but you'll get them and you can have them anytime. And never give it to you.
They checked them and they gave their weapons back. Alex actually picked it up and gave it to them.
Which was weird.
For me, that was like, okay, this is a good sign, I think. You know, it's like all these good signs.
It's super trusting.
Super trusting, I know. I mean, how are you gonna trust somebody if one person doesn't go ahead and trust them first? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to. That's the only way you can... It's kind of like a give and take thing. If you want, especially in a situation like this, if you want them to trust you, you have to give them a reason to trust you. You know what I'm saying? You got to trust them just a little bit. And then Alex is like, oh, I wonder what happened. I want to see what happened to this guy.
Oh, because they saw Daryl's black eye.
And then he's like, did they deserve it? And then this is an important scene. Carl said, yes. Like, you know, no, without a doubt, yes. And then Rick looks at him like, oh. He understands. He gets what I had to do. So he's not afraid of me. He's not, you know, think I'm a terrible person. He understands that that's what I had to do,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so they give him back their guns. It says, hey, we'll give him the tour and we'll show you the place around, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, just don't do anything crazy because we're not stupid. You're not stupid. So as long as you understand that, we're cool.
And Rick's looking around like, yeah, that's cool. We get it. So, I mean, that's, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that whole situation.
It seemed fine. It really did seem fine. I was hooked. I was trapped. But, you know, I still had a little bit of doubt. But I'm just easy. You know, I'm easy to please, okay? So, I was trying to be suspicious, but I couldn't because it seemed pretty legit to me until...
Because, you know why? Because you're a girl and there was, like, hot guys there.
Whatever! It was Alex, Dad. It was Alex. He got to me.
You like smiley guys, right?
He's smiling. I was like, this guy's so friendly. I just want to be his friend. You know, like he seemed like
because he felt
sorry for him. He's like,
you don't
hey.
Smile in the apocalypse.
Yeah, typically. I think I wasn't used to that. So I was like, he looks very trusting. He has that trusting smile, like, oh, it's okay. I'm a cool smile. You know, like I don't know. Got to me, man. Gareth was a little to me, but then once we saw Alex, I'm like, ah, this is so great. We're all happy now.
And then they walk out into the courtyard.
And then this is where I got suspicious, okay? Because she's like, oh, there's that woman again. And then I'm like, oh, where's everybody else? And then we see more people. But then the people we see all have things of the previous, of Glenn's group.
The first thing we saw was a backpack.
Yeah.
Because Rick comes in. He's like, oh, this is cool.
It's like, hey, give them some food, you know? They give these folks their first meal. I'm like, okay, great, great. And I'm like, and I was looking at the meat. I was seeing if that's human meat because I didn't know what kind of thing they were serving there. So I was immediately thinking, is this cannibalism? And I see here, is this cannibalism? And I thought back to the Walking Dead game.
We don't have either confirmation or denial of cannibalism yet.
Yes, yet. So we don't know.
We don't know for sure what's going on.
But the way they were hurting them. Anyway, getting back to the story. Then once Rick looked around and I saw the backpack. I'm like, that backpack looks familiar. And then I saw the poncho. And then the riot gear, I passed over. I didn't really recognize it. But then once I saw the poncho, I was like, this is weird. Because you know how they just scan the area to see what it looks like? But then they scan these particular items and like, wait a second. And then when Rick took up that watch and he saw that watch, I was like, oh, no. And then
he goes, where'd you get this? And he goes, I found it off a dead guy. I'm like, Glenn's dead.
Yeah, I know. I was freaking out.
It's like, Glenn's dead.
And I was like, what are you doing? Don't freak out. No, I didn't like how Rick was really aggressive. I don't think that was a smart move.
No, it was very smart.
Yeah, but then again, I thought about, it's better to do it now than find out another way when they're off guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they had no choice. Mm-hmm. He basically went for the kill. He's like, this is it.
Yeah, because he's not going to ignore the signs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm pretty sure Andrew would be like, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, it's pretty obvious, Jasmine, that, you know, basically they took those things from the group and, you know, something's going down. We got to do something right now.
Yeah. And
so Rick gets Alex hostage.
And then Alex like, hey guys, be cool, be cool. It's okay. It's okay. Just put your guns down. It's okay. And the only thing I was sad about because he had to kill Alex. I was sad. I didn't like that. But then Gareth came up and he's like, okay, folks, what's going on here? Where did you get the watch? Where did you get the poncho? Oh, we found the riot gear off a dead cop and the poncho off a clothing line. He said it pretty, like, nonchalant kind of thing. Like, please. Whatever.
Please.
Please. And then Alex was like, "Don't, you don't have to do this yet. We don't have to do this right now." Oh, wait. Here's my notes.
I found it. Gareth, we can wait.
Hint number one.
Gareth, we can wait. Wait for what? Basically, he's saying that when he's saying Gareth, we can wait.
That means basically saying, they're putting, let's put this off.
Yeah. You know, I know we need to collect these people and put them in the A car.
Mm-hmm.
The train, but let's wait a little bit before we do.
Oh man, no, I don't. Dang it, because he's dead. Okay, I had a as soon as that happened before he died, I'm like, okay, maybe this is good. Maybe this is good. Maybe Alex is a good guy because he says we can wait. Maybe he doesn't really like this stuff. He's just being forced to do it.
No, that is a valid idea.
And then he died. I was like, dang it, because then I'm like, they could use that. You know what I'm saying? Use his guilt to that, because that happens a lot in TV shows where there's a bad, like Milton, for example. He was a bad guy, but he didn't agree with everything the governor did.
Yeah.
So I was hoping for that situation, but he died. I was like, damn it. And then, Gareth kept saying, you know, tell him to shut up because he didn't want to spoil the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't help the situation. You know what I mean? And then he raised his hand and it was supposed to be in a like surrendering gesture, like a calming gesture, but he only put one hand up.
Yes.
Which is very suspicious. And then he says, what do you want? And it was kind of like, and then he says, where did you find this stuff? Like, well, where are my people?
Yeah.
And then he says, you didn't answer the question, close his hands, and that's when he started firing.
He says, what do you want, Rick? It's like, what? What kind of question is that?
I know. And that's what I'm thinking about. What's the right answer?
What do you want, Rick? And Rick says, where are my people?
He said, you didn't answer the question. What if he said, I want to leave?
I want sanctuary.
Is it,
I don't know, what are you supposed to say?
Like, what if he said, I want to leave? Would they would have let them leave? Or would that say, okay, he's willing to surrender, so okay, maybe he still trusts us, or just maybe there's something we can communicate here. But he says, where's my people? There's just like, okay, obviously you don't trust us anymore, because he said that, you don't trust us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point. And I think that is a very key role, the trust thing, because later on when they're running through the thing, they see that sign, trust, you know what I'm saying? So the signal, they started firing on them, but they didn't kill them.
No, they were basically
hurting them.
Once I saw it, I said, hell, they're being herded like cattle into the slaughter.
Because at first I was like, man, they're terrible shots. What is this got going on? But then I realized there was a pattern that they were really hurting them into where they want to go, because they would close certain doors, open others, you know what I'm saying? And then they passed by this cage with all these dead skeletons picked clean.
Human skeletons
on tarp. I thought that was weird. On tarp. Okay, this is like...
weird.
This is a normal thing, kind of thing. This is a permanent residence for this stuff. So this is not new.
And Rick saw that too.
Yeah, he saw that, which is very important that he saw that, because this would be good information. Basically, he's going through the campus or the whatever, the compound, which is kind of good. But
so they could be cannibals, because those could be just the bones that they pick clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And then you notice, though, I immediately thought that, yes, this is a herd, because then when they were traveling through that little maze-like thing, when they were shooting at them, there was a lot of bullets riddled along the walls and the crates that were around.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this has happened many times before.
Yeah.
This is what they do. And then as they pass by these other, what are those crates called? Those shipping containers.
Shipping containers?
I'm pretty sure they're called something, but there was two stacked on top of each other. They passed by, and then there was people screaming, help us, help us.
Oh yeah,
I missed that the first time. I heard it the first time, didn't really register it, because I'm like, what's going on? But then the second time, I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
there are people in there.
There's people, and because Rick turned back, like, what the?
Like, all of them were like looking around, like, what the heck?
What's going on? Like,
I thought it was like, really creepy.
It's like a house of horrors there.
I thought it was really creepy. That's why I really like the sequence.
Then they go into this room,
which is the church.
Which they call the church, which is full of candles.
And names of people on the ground in a circle. Why does it have to be a perfectly formed circle?
Why do you think that's going on there?
Well, now that I know it's a church, I can kind of say this is where they come to remember their people. And then on the wall, it said, this is very important. I think this is one of the most important thing on the walls, and that stupid font that you see everywhere since the signs started appearing. It said, never again, never trust. We first, comma, always.
Yeah.
And I believe, this is my theory. It's kind of like far, far stretch, but I'm pretty good with my theories so far. That something has happened to them in the past, probably in the earlier apocalypse, and they lost a lot of their people, and they don't, they don't trust any people. They don't trust anyone again, because the never again is like something happened before. Never trust. They don't trust people anymore. They always have to think of themselves first before others. So they're willing to do whatever it takes to protect themselves or help themselves, which could lead to the cannibalism part too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And
I think you're on the right track. And I also think that it's kind of similar to Morgan with with the Clear episode, because Morgan's ended up going crazy and his whole purpose in life was basically to clear, which is just to kill everyone in sight, human or zombies.
Based on former experiences, because he lost his son because he couldn't take out his wife.
Yeah. And Morgan set up traps and stuff to trap the zombies and trap people and then just go burn the bodies. So his whole purpose was just to collect people and walkers that came there. So I'm thinking that these people are on a mission to collect everyone from the area and have them come right to there and then somehow kill them or trap them.
Because they don't trust anyone. They want to eliminate the danger.
I have no idea.
But I really like this episode. I love this stuff.
I'm not sure because they're feeding. I don't know. It's hard to figure out what's going on with these people.
Everything seems to be a system that has been happening because every entrance that they go through is marked with an A, which is basically the route that they usually take their people through. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted them to see the church then.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that
I thought it was interesting that they took them through past the bones of the people, past those other trapped people, and then through the church.
Mm.
Like, why would they do that? Or is that the only way they can get those people to where they want to go?
So you think that path might have been on purpose?
Maybe.
Because they want them to see all those things?
Or maybe they just didn't think it meant anything because they would have been dead anyway. Or like, they're trapping them anyway. Knowing this stuff isn't going to be a problem.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. But I just thought that was really interesting. Yeah, so basically they rounded them up like cattle to probably the back of the lot, wherever they are. And then all of them were on the roof.
And then they reached the end of the line.
And they were going to hop the fence, but then people showed up on the other side of the fence, ready to shoot them if they tried anything.
Yeah. So they surrendered. And then it was basically, drop your weapons. And they dropped their weapons. And then they said, okay, well, you guys need to go into that train.
I said, so the ringleader, you first. And I like how he labeled all of them. Like, he's very observative. I mean, it's not hard to tell because one's carrying a crossbow and one's carrying a samurai sword. But I like how it's very organized. Just like Rick said, they must be strong and they must be organized. They're very organized. It kind of reminded me of the Holocaust, sort of. Because they would split people up, they would take their things, and then they would put them into train carts. That's what they did, Dad. They trapped them in train carts for weeks.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is pretty much, they're herding up people.
Yeah.
And that area could be just like the crematorium for the Jews. It's the same thing.
Maybe. But
tarp, man. The tarp thing is creeping me out.
Bones on tarp. And also they said to Rick, go.
And then Rick said, I'm not leaving without my son. And he says,
well, we can kill your son now and you're still going to go in there. So
either way, you're going in there.
No. And up until that point, well, they're shooting at them, but not really at them. They're shooting at their feet to guide mm-hmm. them. And there's still like this little sliver of hope that, oh, maybe they're not so bad. Maybe they're just maybe they're just protecting themselves and just hurting them just to protect themselves. But then once he said that, oh, we're going to kill your son and then, or kill the kid and you're going to still go in, it's like, oh no, they're evil. Because no one, if they were nice, they wouldn't say that, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't say, we're going to kill the kid.
True. But the thing is, he recognized that in the animal and he observed that and he used his weakness kind of thing. It's like, oh, I know your son is your weakness and I'll get you to do whatever you want if I have your son kind of thing. If I threaten you with your son.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, first the ringleader. Then the archer. And I thought that was funny when they said the archer. Like, it's more than just an archer. And the samurai.
And then they put him in line like that?
In that order. Like, what the heck, man? That's creepy.
And then I thought they were just going to shoot them right then and there. It was just convenient.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to move the bodies, the dead bodies. So they said,
Holocaust, man.
Let's line them up in a convenient way that we can, when we kill them, they're already ready to go.
Because in the Holocaust, that's what they did. They had they would have people basically dig their own graves and then shoot them and they would fall into their graves and they just cover up the holes.
That's convenient.
It's convenient. Yeah. Exactly. Right? I know.
So, they basically walked in there and then...
Another hint, Rick saw powdered milk.
At the entrance to the...
So they were feeding them?
Train. Oh, yeah.
That may be important Because maybe the next visit, okay, there's someone going to come in. There's someone the next time we can leave and we know there's food coming so we can just like bust out of there. I don't know.
Well, the fact that they're feeding them means that they want to keep them alive.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So they're not going to die immediately.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then the kid comes and I was so scared that they were going to shoot Carl. I was, when he was walking there, I'm like, he's walking so slow.
I thought they were going to shoot Carl
but then,
too.
Then the guy's like, go on, kid. Like, he kind of felt sorry for him.
There was a kind of a touching moment there where Carl was looking at Rick and they were like looking at each other like, is this the end? Are mm-hmm. we going to die here?
I know.
Are they going to kill us? This is going to be our last moments together.
Mm-hmm, I know. After everything we've been through. So then they go into this train and then not all hope is lost because they're reunited with the rest of the group. I like how they came out of the shadows one at a time.
And they're perfectly aligned.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
They're perfectly aligned so you can see everybody's face.
That's great staging.
In camera.
Great staging. Great. Great blocking.
It's like, okay.
Perfect blocking.
There's no,
like,
no doubt. You can see everybody's face.
That's called formations. We do that in theater all the time. You have to create windows. And that's all that was. Simple, classic windows. Perfect blocking. I liked it. They put the important people at the front and the less important the people in the back.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they came out from the shadows and instead of being like, Glenn, you're here. They're like, good, you're here. I need you kind of thing. Like they weren't even like reuniting. They were just like, good. I was like, yes, I got my people back kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. I was so happy. Made me happy seeing them all together again. And then. And then also
they said that.
We have some new people, new faces.
Who are the newbies? And he said, well, they're friends. They helped us. And then Daryl's like, well, then they're our friends too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of corny.
Our friends too.
And then because he said you're here, like he said it twice, like first like, oh, you're here, like he realized what that means. It's like, you're here, we can now like band together. Because then he's like now they're friends of ours. And then he's like, well, that's all great and all, but no, maybe not for long. And then Rick was like, no, he just said no. This whole scene was dramatic. I loved it. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was a good scene because he says they're gonna feel pretty stupid when they find out.
Like, find out what?
And then Abraham says, find out what? And he's like, they're screwing with the wrong people.
I know. I was like, yeah, it's perfect. I felt the tension. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's
perfect last scene. Perfect. I'm not even mad that they left us on a cliffhanger because I know it's gonna be so good. Like, I'm not a one that gets like impatient for the show to come back because it's bittersweet, because then we get a break and we get to formulate plans and stuff and all that, and like, this is gonna be so good, you know, get excitement. So
Rick is back and he's confident.
Oh, we forgot to talk about a bunch of flashback scenes.
We can talk about that. So the fact that he says he's screwing with the wrong people is kind of the same thing that happened to Joe and his group. Right? Because Joe tried
he's
to mess with them.
He's off the whole thing about when he just ripped his neck off, so he feels like he can do anything.
No, because Joe also thought, these are nobodies. They're just...
Yeah, they underestimated.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best thing, because then they wouldn't, you know, try so hard to stop them.
And then Rick says, yeah, the Joe didn't realize he messed with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Look what happened to him.
Yeah, look at what happened to Joe.
He got his neck ripped off. And then,
so you want to go back to the
flashback right after they attack Joe and Joe goes down. So this whole time there's introductions of flashbacks with Herschel.
Yeah,
trying to get Rick to do stuff.
Basically, there was one scene where Herschel is talking to Rick and telling him how
this is really important because this is why he took up farming.
He's telling that Carl knows how to shoot. He knows about guns.
He needs to know about life now. He needs to know about who he is.
Yeah, he needs to know about who he is and about life. And also, what message are you going to give him?
Yeah, because we have some time. Use that time wisely kind of thing.
Yeah, for 2 months we've been clear. So let's kind of change direction now.
Let's focus on our families and growing as people. And basically, he's trying to convince Rick, saying that, farming, I can't do it, but you can do it. And you don't have to take the authoritative role. You can step back and take time out with your son because your son needs you. Mm-hmm. And farming can be a way to teach him how to be a better person. And a way to reconnect with his son, to get him back. Because they have time. They use the time.
Yeah. And he basically said, what role model, like, what do you want him to look up to?
You want him to look up to a kind, thoughtful, and strong leader. You want him to be like that. You don't want him to be like a brutal killer who has no morals kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the last flashback was of them farming. And then Beth and Judith and were there. But Judith is sleeping on Beth's shoulder. That was so cute. And then everyone is laughing and having fun.
And Rick's like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. And Herschel says, it can be like this
all the time.
All the time. And Rick says, it is like that right now. So, and also the fact that Patrick was playing with Legos and Carl was playing with guns.
That was a big wake-up call there.
Yeah.
Saying, because he says, oh, I got the Legos for Carl. And Patrick's like, I'm not ashamed that this is for ages 6 to 12-year-old.
One thing I like is when they were cutting between the scenes, I like how they did that. Especially one scene where they were showing Carl. Oh, what was he doing? Was Carl farming?
Mm-hmm. And he had the hat and the hat fell off?
Yeah, or something. But then they zoomed out of Carl and he was, you know, Carl was pointing the gun basically in present time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, look where he is now.
Yeah, look where he was then and where he is now. It was basically where Rick said to Carl, you know, put the gun down. You don't need it.
All the time. Yeah.
And then they zoom out and it's basically Carl.
With the gun.
Yeah. But she does need it. So, yeah. So I like the way they cut between those scenes. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. That pretty much concludes that episode.
Yeah, but not our episode yet. So, again, you know, overall, I think this episode wasn't what a lot of people expected. There was no kind of, there was no like ending where, you know, because some people were saying, you know, part of the group is going to go to Washington, the other group is going to stay.
Yeah, nothing really was answered.
Yeah, nothing like that happened.
It was really just Rick and Carl development with Michonne and then getting to Terminus and then realize what Terminus. I think they showed us enough of Terminus, but not too much as Terminus, which I think was good.
There's still a lot more to be discovered with Terminus. Like, why are they capturing these people?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Are they cannibals or not? Let's find once and for all find out.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is the whole purpose of all of this? So that's what we need to find out. And also that Gareth doesn't know who he's dealing with.
Exactly. I really like that.
He's dealing with Rick and he doesn't know what this group has been through.
And I'm really excited for Glenn's character too, because he's changed so much. He's such a strong presence now. I'm like, yes, this is so awesome. He could be potentially one of my top three.
Yeah, Glenn's pretty strong. Maggie's pretty strong herself too. She's been through a lot.
And Sasha's too.
Yeah, they're all, you know, they're all battle hardened. But one thing I think might happen. Here's my prediction.
Eugene's gonna die.
No, I think that Tyrese and Carol are gonna.
Oh yeah.
End up at Terminus, but they're not gonna walk in all the way and get trapped. They're gonna somehow help
observe
help from the outside somehow.
Yeah, I think they're gonna observe for a while.
Yeah, and then they're gonna somehow be important to them being released.
A crucial part of their escape, yeah.
Yeah. So now that we've seen all the seasons, now that season 4 has finished, how do you think this whole season 4 compares to the other three?
If it's good or not? Like, if it's better or...
Yeah, better or worse.
I think this is... It's hard to say. Whenever someone asks me which season is my favorite season, I'm always like, every season after the other is always my favorite, because it's hard to pick, because every season really stands on its own, has its different set of characters and different situations, and they all change. Like, they're not the same every season, so it's hard to pick one. But I would say that it's probably one of the best, because it's so diverse, so many things happened, and they didn't just stay at one place the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we watched the prison fall, we watched them travel on the road, and we watched them go to a new place, we saw, you know, a lot of character arcs and all that. So I have to say this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Especially for Rick's development and stuff.
I think this was my favorite season as well, because it puts you in a lot more stressful situations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of episodes where you were scared.
Mm-hmm.
You were actually genuinely frightened for the people,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't know what was going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was some mystery. Like,
yeah.
There was a lot of mystery, like
long-term problems that we never got solved until like when you least expect it.
Yeah, like who did this, who did that?
Yeah. And I also liked how each character really developed their own story, because in the previous seasons we haven't really seen a lot of story built development with each character besides the main group. Mm-hmm. But I liked how in this season everybody had their say, everybody had their evolution kind of thing. I really like that. So you kind of can like connect more with the characters. And you know, it's okay if one of the bigger characters like Rick died, because, you know, we still have other characters. But yeah, I don't want Rick to die. But just saying.
Yeah, so I think I think AMC with Scott Gimple and all that finally did the right thing and hired the right people. And I think they're finally going to, they're headed on the right track. Because after season three, I think, well, season two was pretty lame as far as, you know, action and development and stuff. It was good. I mean, all the seasons were good. But I think with season four, they finally
found a balance,
found the right formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they just keep everything the way it is, the same people involved, same producers and all that, I think they're going to have fans that have left the show going to come back. And I think it's just going to grow even more now.
Yeah.
Because I think they just found the right formula.
It's perfect. I love it. It's
every,
my favorite show.
Every episode kept me hooked in this season.
Do you realize how obsessed we are with The Walking Dead? Like, literally, we're so into The Walking Dead. We're so invested in this show. It's not even funny. Like, yes. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life.
It's disturbing.
Like, after the show is over, this is one thing that's going to be a big part of my life, I think.
Yeah, and plus all the other stuff around it that we do, like the podcast and also...
You know, go to the conventions and meet everybody.
Conventions and meet people and stuff.
So if someone asked me, like, oh, how was your teenage years? I'm like, it was all about The Walking Dead, really. My life surrounded that.
You know, eventually the show is going to be over, right?
I know.
It's not going to last forever, even though they say it will. All shows come to an end at some point.
Yeah. Man.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think season four was the best, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You think so, too?
I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Okay. So, we're on agreement that season four is the best.
Yeah, season three was hard for me. No, it wasn't hard as in bad. It was like a lot of, it's like watching Titanic, you know what I'm saying? You know it's going to happen and you don't like it, but it makes it really good.
And then, but in season three, the major battle ending that we never got at the end, which was kind of disappointing.
Season two, so. I liked, I don't know why, I mean, I liked it more than I guess the average person because I liked Shane's character in Evolution. I think that's the only reason why I like season two because of Shane. Season one, I just thought it was all right. I mean, it was good.
It was short. And plus, it was kind of the introduction.
Yeah, so it doesn't even count.
It was kind of the intro season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a long way to go. I can't wait to season five.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Season five. Wow. It's a lot of seasons.
Can't wait. Super excited.
And then there's a spinoff. We don't know what's going on with that.
Well, we heard rumors that it's actually in production.
They have producers.
They have people that they're, it's on, it's a go. So that'll be interesting to find out what they're going to do with the spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
So more stuff to talk about, more podcasts that we Woo-hoo! Have to do. We have to do two podcasts
now. That'll be awesome.
Cool. So that is this episode. Are you sad that it's over now?
I feel bittersweet. I'm sad that it's over and I can't do any more podcasts and I can't, you know, I just love the show. But it's good because it gives me more time to do my homework and it gives me a break. But we will not be totally off. We might have a couple of things here and there.
Yeah, we're going to be doing podcasts. We're going to be doing several episodes.
Hopefully some interviews.
So stay with us throughout the summer and until the season five comes back, because we're going to have a bunch of stuff happening. So keep listening. And we'd also like to mention
that we have this thing going on. If we get to 50 reviews on iTunes, then we will reenact one of your favorite scenes from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we need 50.
Just letting you know, it's going to be totally ghetto.
50 written reviews. What do you mean ghetto?
I mean, if we're not going to have like a big budget and like go all out. I mean, we're going to go all out with what we have.
Exactly, yeah. It's, so we're going to reenact some of the scenes. So please go to iTunes and push so that we can get 50 written reviews. And we'd really appreciate it and be eternally grateful.
Yeah.
And you'll hear us do our campy reenactment of a Walking Dead scene.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate any feedback you might have. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
Stay alive.